Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. Pianist, composer, and arranger Tad Dameron once said, "There's enough ugliness in the world. I'm interested in beauty." From the late 1930s through the early 1960s, Dameron lived out that musical creed in his work, in the process becoming one of the founding fathers of modern jazz. In the next hour, we'll hear some of his most famous compositions, such as Hot House and Our Delight, as well as commentary from Dameron biographer Paul Combs. It's Dameronia, the Tad Dameron story, coming up next on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Tad Dameron performing his composition Fontainebleau, inspired by his visit to the site of a famous palace and forest in northern France, and the title track of his 1956 album. In the story of modern jazz, there are numerous lesser-sung heroes and heroines, and one such artist is composer, arranger, and pianist Tad Dameron, whose advanced sense of harmonics and lyrical melodicism made him, in the words of his biographer Paul Combs, the architect of bop. Dameron was born in Cleveland, Ohio on February 21, 1917. He came of musical age in the swing era, helped fire the bebop revolution, and continued into the hard bop era of the 1950s and early 60s before dying at the age of 48 in 1965. Paul Combs, author of the Dameron biography, Dameronia.
He is one of the, well, shall we say, founding fathers or founders of modern jazz. Along with Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker, Kenny Clarke, Thelonious Monk, and, he's just so very important in the developments in the very late 30s coming into the 40s that led to what we now have as mature modern jazz idiom. And I would say also the quality of his work. He's worthy of our attention as an important American composer, because his vision of music is perhaps that, as is the case with several other significant artists, bigger than just one idiom. He's somebody we should know about and should pay attention to.
From his earliest days as an arranger and composer for the Harlan Leonard Big Band, Dameron's writing gifts were abundantly clear.
There's almost always a very lyrical quality to his work. There's also, he's very interested in incorporating improvisation as a compositional element. Duke does this too. I mean, he's not unique in this, but it certainly is one of the things, and one of the things that he carries forward from Duke Ellington, who he cited as a major, major influence, is the way he will very often have these shorter improvisations that are part of the overall composition. You know, when things are up-tempo and they need to swing, he swings mightily too. You know, his backgrounds, and again, the lyricism, the melodic, what can I say, the melodic momentum of what he creates. He's a brilliant melodist. His melodies have a grace and a stature to them that really stands out. I'm reminded the first time I played some of his tunes that were never recorded in a restaurant. I'm just playing in the corner of a restaurant with a guitarist. And I played some of these tunes, and you know, you play in a restaurant, you don't expect applause. I mean, that's not what the gig's about. And yet, I'd play these tunes and people would applaud. And they'd never heard them before, you know. There was something about them that just caught their ear and delighted them.
Dameron really hit his stride as a composer in the surging bebop movement of the mid-1940s. His composition Hot House, recorded in early 1945 by Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, became one of the anthems of the new music.
Hot House, actually, Tad claimed, and I have no reason to disbelieve him. He would fib from time to time, but I don't think he fibbed about this. Hot House, actually, Tad had written in by 1939. And it's probably the most aggressive piece of music that Tad ever wrote. And it certainly is one of the anthems, the bop anthems, you know. It's there. And another part of the canon, you know. If you can be serious about this music, you ought to know that tune. And I guess the other thing there is Stan Levy would have been on drums, except that Stan was asked by Benny Goodman to cover for his drummer on a tour, and Bird and Diz said, "Yeah, man, you better take that gig. You're not going to make any money with us."
Thank you. Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie doing Tad Dameron's Hot House in 1945 with Al Haig on piano, Curly Russell on bass, and Big Sid Catlett on drums. Dameron also did a number of dates with singers throughout his career, including a 1946 recording that resulted in a jazz standard.
Sarah Vaughan, if you could see me now, this was Sarah Vaughan's breakout recording. This was the first one where she's not the singer with the band, it's Sarah Vaughan with orchestra conducted by Tad Dameron. And Tad arranged the whole thing. He contracted the musicians and conducted. And he wrote for her this tune, or for this session, he wrote this song, which remains another one of the canon. No self-respecting jazz singer, or hardly any self-respecting jazz singer, is without this song in their repertoire.
If you could see me now, you know how blue I've been. One look is all you need to see the mood I'm in. Perhaps then you'd realize I'm still in love with you. If you could see me now, you'd find me being brave and trying awfully hard to make my tears behave. But that's quite impossible. I'm still in love with you. You happened my way on some memorable day, and the month will be May for a while. I'll try to smile, but can I play the part without my heart behind the smile? The way I feel for you, I never could disguise. The look of love is written plainly in your eyes. I think you'd be mine again if you could see.
Sarah Vaughan in 1946 singing Tad Dameron and Carl Sigmund's If You Could See Me Now, a song that became a standard with Freddie Webster on trumpet and Bud Powell on piano. It was Dameron's associations with bebop-era instrumentalists, however, musicians such as Dizzy Gillespie and bandleaders like Billy Eckstine, that produced his most significant contributions to the modern jazz legacy. Dameron biographer Paul Combs.
He's one of the key figures in that, you know, one of the really, really outstanding. Because it has to do with his harmonic sensibility. He's already working with the harmonies, the harmonic approach that will be one of the identifying qualities of what we call bebop or early modern jazz. He's already using these more sophisticated harmonies in the late 30s. So he's really ahead of the curve. There are, I think, some other arrangers who should be cited in that, but because Tad is so closely involved with Dizzy and with Billy Eckstein and so on, he really, really stands out as somebody bringing the evolution of swing into this, what becomes called bebop. Dizzy makes this point, you know, that bop is just really swing continuing to develop, but he brings all of that into the big band context, and in a way that really catches the ear of a lot of people and inspires a lot of people.
Dizzy Gillespie's big band in 1947 performing Cool Breeze, written by Gillespie, Tad Dameron, and Billy Eckstine. Dameron worked with many of the late 1940s most important up-and-coming artists, such as saxophonist Dexter Gordon. But his most significant musical association in the late 1940s was with trumpeter Fats Navarro. The two made a number of significant recordings together for the Capitol, Blue Note, and Savoy labels.
The recordings that Tad made in 47, 48, 49 are some of the really outstanding recordings of that era, of some of the really quintessential bop recordings have Tad Dameron on piano, or they're his dates. You know, he's either playing with Dexter, playing with Fats. It seems like it was one of those situations, which isn't uncommon. Sometimes it's Fats' band, sometimes it's his band, you know. And he was on the road with Dexter. And anyway, those recordings, Horace Silver cited those recordings as being mentored by Tad Dameron, listening to those. And if you consider how Tad brings arranging into that music, Dizzy suggests that in a few small things, but Tad really brings this quality of an overall composition, not just a 32-bar tune or a blues head, but a whole composition. And that's what Horace picks up on and runs.
Tad Dameron and trumpeter Fats Navarro performing Dameron's composition Our Delight. In 1949, Dameron traveled to Europe with a group that included another young trumpeter, Miles Davis.
Tad was one of Miles's mentors. Tad met Miles in 1944 in East St. Louis when they were whipping the Eckstine band into shape. And I think it was Buddy Anderson was in the trumpet section, and he He got sick. I don't know. He had whatever. You know, he couldn't make the gig a couple of nights. And Miles was still in high school, but he was this already. You know, the cats knew about this young guy coming up from high school in East St. Louis. So he covered for a night or two for Buddy Anderson. That's where they first met. Then when Miles came to New York, of course, then he's hanging out on the scene, and Tad's one of those people. And no doubt the famous chord changes in the Matchbook covers, a bunch of those would have come from Tad, because he was known to be very generous with what he knew. And then over those period, you know, Miles starts playing with Bird. And that's really like, you know, graduate school, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Miles is playing with Bird. And I think if you really listen to those recordings, you hear what an extraordinary trumpet player he became. You know, he doesn't have the range of Fats or Dizzy. He doesn't have those high notes, but he certainly develops a lot of velocity, and his lines are interesting. You know, so what happens over that period of time? He graduates from being a mentee to being a colleague. And then when they go to France in 1949, they co-lead this group. And they and at different times, Tad would play piano for Miles on club dates.
For our next selection, we'd like to play an original by Tad Dameron, Good Bait.
Bebop de Tad Dameron. Bebop, c'est-à-dire se livrant à la forme d'improvisation la plus moderne du jazz. Cet orchestre est composé de Tad Dameron, un des pianistes de l'école moderne, Miles Davis à la trompette, James Moody, ancien saxophoniste ténor du fameux Gillespie, notre ami Kenny Clark à la batterie et Stila à la basse. Thank you.
Miles Davis and Tad Dameron performing Dameron's Good Bait in Paris in May of 1949, with James Moody on saxophone, Barney Spieler on bass, and Kenny Clark on drums. I'll have more of the music of Tad Dameron in just a few moments. You can listen to previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Carry out and delivery information at 812-323-2233. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Our Delight, the Tad Dameron Story. Featuring the music of Tad Dameron on this edition of Nightlights and talking with Paul Combs, author of Dameronia, The Life and Career of Tad Dameron. Combs calls Dameron an architect of bop and one of the founding fathers of modern jazz. I asked him why Dameron is so little known beyond the world of jazz aficionados.
First of all, he was only a band leader for a short time. And that's where people really notice somebody. You know, nobody except us insiders pays any attention to arrangers. Right, you know, if I'm talking to people who are jazz fans, and I mention a bunch of great arrangers who deserve to be known for their work, man, people don't know who these guys are, you know. And so, first of all, he's primarily in the background there as an arranger, as a composer. That would be the second thing. He's a band leader for a short time. And the third thing is that his life really became very, very messy in the 1950s, when he should have really been rising to prominence. And he would only surface every now and then. And when he'd surface, he'd do something wonderful, and then he'd disappear again. Thank you.
Tad Dameron and saxophonist John Coltrane performing Dameron's Soul Train, recorded during one of those 1950s surfacings that Dameron biographer Paul Combs mentioned, a decade that saw Dameron off and off the jazz scene because of his legal, substance abuse, and other problems.
You know, he had a heroin addiction, although that didn't stop some other people. And I think he had a lot of, there were a lot of other personal problems that we can only speculate about from some circumstantial and anecdotal evidence, along with, you know, family kind of things. And he may have had a couple of children by a woman who had been a common law wife, and there was a lot of there would have seemed, if I understand that situation correctly, that had him. I don't know. He carried some kind of great sadness with him, a great, you know, there was some internal personal pain in the man that I think he was wrestling with all the time.
Still, Dameron continued to contribute strong compositions to the modern jazz repertoire throughout his troubles, including this one, Clifford Brown and Max Roach with The Scene Is Clean on Nightlights. We'll be right back. trumpeter Clifford Brown and drummer Max Roach's group performing Tad Dameron's The Scene is Clean. The scene, sadly, was often not clean for Dameron, as was the case for many musicians in the 1940s and 50s, and he spent some time in penal institutions as a result.
He was arrested by the feds in late 1957, and he went to trial with a public defender, and he didn't contest anything except, well, there was one charge he asked. They dropped one charge. They dropped the tax charge on him. And he accepted the sentence, and it was 5 years, and they sent him to the public health hospital in Lexington. And according to his sister-in-law, he was really glad. He wanted to get the heroin thing off his back, and by all accounts, he did. And there were a lot of musicians there, so they had a big band with. And he would write charts for that and rehearse them, and there were pianos available to him. And even just before he was released, he arranged an album for Blue Mitchell, and he wrote those charts while he was still incarcerated.
Thank you.
trumpeter Blue Mitchell performing Tad Dameron's Smooth as the Wind, a composition written while Dameron was serving time on drug charges. Once out of prison, Dameron tried to make his way back onto the jazz scene in the early 1960s and recorded an album, The Magic Touch, with which he was very pleased. But in 1964, he was diagnosed with cancer. Here's saxophonist Lucky Thompson sending well wishes to Dameron over a radio broadcast as they begin Dameron's tune, Lady Bird.
Lucky Thompson with the quartet, and this tune was written by Tad Dameron.
Yes, we'd like to pay special tribute to Tad, who has been quite ill. And I do think that Tad has been one of the very great contributors to the modern day influence on music. And so we'd like to say hello to you, Tad, and we sincerely hope that you are doing much better. And we do sincerely hope we can do justice to your very fine composition entitled Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, the Lucky Thompson Quartet.
Tad Dameron died in 1965 at the age of 48. His compositions such as Hot House, Lady Bird, Our Delight, and If You Could See Me Now stand both as landmarks of their time and as enduring jazz standards. Dameron said that there was enough ugliness in the world and that he was interested in beauty. That interest turned, through his music, into beauty itself.
Thank you.
I close with Tad Dameron and trumpeter Clifford Brown in 1953 performing Dameron's Dial B for Beauty. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. Special thanks to Paul Combs. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington, Indiana, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.